Hello again. We're continuing with our course, Developing Great Commission Skills. Today we're working on Skill 1, and we're moving into Unit 2. The skill topic that we're going to be looking at today is called Great Commission Central. Now here's the thing. I have come to understand that the Great Commission is central to both the vision and the strategy of the church. You know, God has a vision of a church that goes in the authority of Jesus Christ to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, to observe all that He has commanded, resting in and empowered by His continual presence through His Holy Spirit. Now, the church that follows through on this commitment is a church that is effective at reaching the lost among the harvest and is effective at being a Great Commission church, bringing glory to God. So, here's a vision question, a visionary question for you to ask, for any given church, for that matter. What will the ministry look like if our church commits to being truly a Great Commission church, centering our ministry on the mandate of the Great Commission? Now, let me just point something out for a moment. Most church leaders that I have worked with over the years have indicated that their desire is for their churches to commit to the Great Commission, to see people come to Christ, to go and make disciples. No one ever says, no, I'm not interested in that. No one ever says, no, the Great Commission is not that important. Everyone agrees that it's important. Everyone agrees that they would love to see more conversion growth, more people coming to Christ. And yet, when I take a deeper look into the life of the church, I find very few indicators of a commitment to the Great Commission. I don't find the time that staff people are devoting to ministry to be that centered on the Great Commission. I don't find budgets that are creating ample resources for Great Commission types of ministry. The list goes on and on. So, you know, it's one thing to say you're about the Great Commission. It's quite another to actually follow through. That visionary question, what would ministry look like if we really did commit to being a Great Commission church? If we really looked in the mirror at ourselves and recognize perhaps that we're not really living up to that ideal, to that expectation. When you look at the criterion that are being used for decision making, for example, is it a Great Commission criteria? When you look at how resources are being allocated, are they being allocated according to the Great Commission? Is ministry being evaluated on being effective with Great Commission ministry? Now, when we turn our thoughts to strategy, the question becomes, okay, fine, how are we going to make disciples? How are we going to do this? If we really commit to the vision of the Great Commission, how are we going to do this? What is our strategy going to be? The broad strategy of our church at large, as well as the individual strategies of the different ministries, the different departments, the different ways that staff is being utilized. How are we going to do that? Now, as you begin to really answer that question, the question of how, strategy will begin to emerge. So, with both vision and strategy being driven by the Great Commission, the Great Commission will stand as the central core of the missional enterprise. Great Commission Central. Now, as we move further into this session, I'm going to recommend that you pull out page 22 from the Developing Great Commission Skills presentation notes. You should have the presentation notes as a download as part of this course. And I really, really think you should have this in front of you as we proceed, because I'm about to show you a diagram, a chart, that we are going to spend a lot of time with, and it would be helpful if you had that. So if you don't have it right at your fingertips, I'm going to suggest that you pause the video and find it, and then come back, and we'll dive back in. Okay? So, I'm assuming now that you have done that, that you have page 22 of the presentation notes, and so we are going to dissect this rather flavorful, colorful diagram. I'm calling this the Great Commission Model or the Great Commission Triangle. I don't much care what we call it. It's the concepts that are important. I'm trying to create some dots and then connect those dots for you. This is the kind of diagram that you might want to print out and hang on the wall, on the bulletin board, sit it on your desk, hand it out to your staff, your leaders, something that is a reference sheet of information, the Great Commission Model. So I'm going to walk through this with you and show you how it works. First of all, I want you to note at the corners, we've got outreach, evangelism, and discipleship. This is our strategic tool, and we're going to lean into this tool to help understand how to formulate Great Commission strategy, outreach, evangelism, and discipleship. Now, conventional churches tend to view their ministry programming as central to their approach to ministry. A lot of churches, particularly if they are carryovers from, say, a mid to late 20th century approach to local church ministry, many of those churches are program driven. And the central core, the spinal cord of the church is its programming. Folks sense that whatever success we might be having as a church is because we've got these programs in place. The problem is that programming, conventional programming, tends to be congregation focused. In other words, people that have already been reached. And it doesn't do much for reaching out to the lost in the community. Whereas a Great Commission central approach to ministry would place those folks out in the community right in the center of what it is we're trying to do. Now, I want to introduce a term, and I'm going to define that for you. And the term is this, ministry movements. I want to suggest to you that outreach, evangelism, and discipleship are not going to function as conventional ministry programs per se. They are going to function as ministry movements. Now, let me give you an example. Many years ago, before I went into local church ministry, we're talking mid-70s now, I was part of a church that had roughly 1,200 members. Now, we had an evangelism team, and we had about 15 of us on this evangelism team. Do you see a problem? You see anything out of balance there? 15 are part of the evangelism team. 1,185 are not. However, my guess is that if you were to speak with any of those 1,185 and ask the question, does your church engage in evangelism? The answer would have been, yes, we have an evangelism team. Here's the thing, though. If you have a church of 1,200, you should have 1,200 on the evangelism team. Now, how do you make that happen? Well, you make evangelism a movement and not a program. Okay? So, hold on to that for a moment. The question that you're probably wondering is, what is a ministry movement? How do we define ministry movement? Well, a ministry area becomes a movement rather than a program when it's positioned as a thread that runs through every ministry area or every program or every department, however you want to frame it. It runs through every ministry, every program of a church. Every ministry does outreach. Every ministry has the capacity to do evangelism. Every ministry has the capacity to do discipleship. We don't just have a handful of people on an outreach team, a handful of people on an evangelism team. You know, a few people leading the charge in discipleship. Every ministry area incorporates these three movements of outreach, evangelism, and discipleship. Now, I probably need to distinguish between outreach and evangelism, because often those two terms, those two concepts, are used interchangeably. So, here's how this works. Outreach is when people in the church connect with people outside of the church, outside of the faith, and build sustainable relationships. The idea is to get involved in people's lives, to walk alongside them, whether it's at work, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your family, whether it's in some affinity group that you're part of, like a cycling group. Recently, I heard someone talk about having been involved in working out at a fitness center for a dozen years or so. And that person could point to about 40 people who had at least visited the church from his meeting them at the fitness center, getting to know them, extending the invitation. Okay? So outreach is about ongoing, sustainable relationships. Evangelism is when people who are outside of the Christian faith are exposed to a crystal clear rendering of the gospel message, the basics. You know, Gospel 101, Jesus, sin, forgiveness, cross, resurrection, repentance, eternal life. You know, the very basics of the gospel. You know, if the gospel has not been clearly articulated, evangelism has not happened. Now, many times evangelism is made possible through outreach. As we connect with people in an ongoing way, over time, they get to know us, they get to respect us, appreciate us, trust us, and then that moment happens in life when they're now interested in matters of the soul. Well, we're right there to fill that gap. Okay? So, outreach, evangelism, discipleship are movements within a church, and this has to be done intentionally as part of the congregational strategy that filters into every ministry area of the church. Now, let's move inside the triangle to reach, preach, and teach. Now, part of this, of course, is just the gimmick of having these three rhyming words. It makes them very, very memorable. But this is a shorthand way of representing the Great Commission. You know, oftentimes the Great Commission is succinctly narrowed down to the phrase, go make disciples. Obviously, there's much more to the Great Commission than that. But, you know, I get it. I understand that that's a very marquee spot within the Great Commission. Well, think of it as reach, preach, and teach. Outreach, of course, is associated with reach. You know, creating and leveraging the going ministries of the church. Evangelism is associated with preach, creating and leveraging the proclamation ministries of the Great Commission Church. And discipleship is associated with teach, engaging both the congregation and the individual. Now, the objective of Christian maturity and the emphasis in developing Christian maturity needs to focus on obedience to what we know and not just on knowing what we know. You get that? Maturity is about obedience to what we know, not just knowing what we know. Now, God has a vision of a church that goes and makes disciples. Moving from vision to strategy, the question becomes, how will our church go and make disciples? Answer, we will reach, we will preach, we will teach. We will do outreach, we will do evangelism, we will do discipleship. Now, I want you to notice the small upside down triangle in the middle of the larger triangle. And it's got two phrases there that are prominent. One phrase is come to faith. The other phrase is grow in faith. Now think about it this way. Outreach and evangelism work in tandem to help someone come to faith. Discipleship helps someone to grow in faith. Now, the text box to the right that features several important scripture references, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that is the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them. You know how that goes by now. There's a couple of other things that I want to point out. One is Acts 2:42-47, and Ephesians 4:1-7, 11-16. I'm actually going to read those to you. What these do is when you harness them together, you have something that I refer to as the Acts 2, Ephesians 4 church. I think it's important as a model. It's a description of the first century church, but I think it also gives us a prescription of the 21st century church. So, let me read those to you. The prescription of the first century church that comes from Acts 2, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Prescription of the first century church. Description. Back up. Description of the first century church. Prescription of the 21st century church. Turning to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7, Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, urged you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to you to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is a big deal to Paul. It's a big deal to the Great Commission Church. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, let's move over to verse 11 and talk about that distribution of gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip. There's that word equip that we saw in Hebrews 13. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It goes on. So we've got this idea of unity, of commitment to those five giftings of leadership in the church, equipping the saints for ministry as we move toward maturity. That is the picture that we want to see, the model of the Great Commission Church. Now, one final scripture passage I want to refer to is Ezra 7, 1 through 10. I'm not going to read that to you. It would take too long, but I do want to point out, again, looking at that upside-down triangle in the center of the larger triangle, you see the phrase obedience, know, live, share. Well, obedience is taken out of the Great Commission. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. But the know, the live, the share, that is an interpretation that comes out of Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. You know, Ezra was an amazing servant of the Lord. We're told that he was a descendant of Aaron, so he was a high priest, and he was skilled in the law of Moses. So in the one man, Ezra, we had the 1-2 punch of Aaron and Moses. And God selected Ezra to play a pivotal role. Following the exile, Ezra is the one who came back to Jerusalem out of exile to reestablish the law of God as the law of the land. What were his qualifications? Well, Ezra 7:10 tells us. It says that Ezra had devoted himself to three things. He had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law, the study of the law, the observance of the law, and to teaching its statutes and decrees all throughout Israel. Well, if we bump that over to the New Testament, here's what we get. Ezra was a man who knew his faith. Ezra was a man who lived his faith. And Ezra was a man who taught his faith. In an effort to be obedient to the commands of Christ, we need to know our faith. We need to live our faith. And if we're going to be faithful to the Great Commission, we've got to share our faith. Great Commission Central. Now let's wrap this up. What is our vision? We will go and make disciples. What is our strategy? We will actually go. Now, why is it important that I spell that out? Well, again, I've worked with lots and lots of churches that will claim that they have a vision for the Great Commission, but they don't have the strategy to back it up. Our vision, we have a vision of going and making disciples, and strategically, we're actually going to go. We are going to center our actions on going, the outreach part, the evangelism part. And as people cross that starting line of salvation, we will grow them in their faith to maturity. Ephesians 4, we will grow them into being true worshipers. Well, that completes this video. Next time, we're going to be looking at the skill topic called a reached community. A reached community. May God bless your ongoing studies. Amen.